Welcome to the Fishing Daily Podcast, sponsored this month by Saltwater Marketing, digital marketing services for the commercial marine industry. Here's your host, editor of the Fishing Daily, Oliver McBride.
Welcome to the Fishing Daily Podcast. Today I'm joined by Brendan Byrne from the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association, and we'll be talking about the unprecedented situation that the Irish fishing industry found itself in the past week and what happened over the weekend. Welcome, Brendan.
Thank you very much, Oliver. Thank you.
Brendan, it must be a momentous occasion for yourself and everybody involved that you took on what was the might of the Russian Navy, and you managed to diplomatically move them outside the Irish EEZ.
Well, it certainly was an unprecedented week, as you said in the introduction. It was a week that started with a trip by me to Castletown Bear to meet some of the processors. And in the course of being there, I met with Patrick Murphy and others, as you do. And from that, then it became self-evident as the week was unfolding that there was a complete lack of information being shared from the government in terms of the proposed naval drill of the Russian Navy off the southwest coast. And as the week evolved, and Patrick Murphy, of the CEO of the South and West, had done a number of interviews, an invitation found its way to Castletown Bear from the Russian ambassador to have a delegation of fishers to the embassy. Patrick asked me to join him in that delegation. There were just the two of us. And we decided to go to the embassy on Thursday. And much to my own surprise, when I arrived there in Orwell Road, where the embassy is located, there was already at that stage probably 6-7 television cameras from 4 or 5 different countries in Europe, and maybe another 20 or so journalists. So at that stage, there was a momentum gathering, and we'll deal with the meeting, I suppose, separately. But I think the background that led us to getting into our cars and going to Orwell Road, where the embassy needs to be looked at. Why did it take two industry representatives to go to that extent in order to find out information that would directly affect a sector? Why was there such a vacuum of leadership in terms of the various departments that are responsible for this, namely the Department of Transport and the Department of Foreign Affairs? There was no information sharing. There was no consultation with the industry. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, it became evident as the week went on, that the initiative had to be taken by the industry. And that was the background that brought us to Orwell Road. And I have to compliment Patrick Murphy, the CEO of the South and West, who put a massive effort into conducting various interviews nationally initially. And then from that, after we went into the embassy, and I likened ourselves, both Patrick and I, when we went through the gate of the embassy in Orwell Road, we were like two orphans. We had no political support. We had no political encouragement. We had no information sharing. We stood alone. We stood perhaps naively alone, not knowing what was ahead of us. Neither one of us have any diplomatic experience. I have some political experience, which was a benefit to me on this occasion. But it was a very daunting task, and I wouldn't envy it on anyone. But we found a very welcome reception with the ambassador and his staff there. We put our case in a very fair and open manner. And I have to say, from the outset, the ambassador was very understanding of the plight of the fishing industry. He was very knowledgeable of the industry, to be fair. And from that, then, different options were explored. Of course, he's only the ambassador to Ireland, a very prominent position, nevertheless. But he's answerable to a whole sequence of political offices in the motherland of Russia. And that was where we left it. And I was optimistic always that a positive outcome would come from it. But then when we concluded the meeting, we went back out into the car and out the driveway. And whatever number of journalists was there when I arrived, there was twice that there when we were leaving. And we, again, this is on charted territory for both Patrick or I. Maybe it is for Patrick, maybe he's better used to it than I. But we give an hour and 10 minutes of a press conference of intense to and fro-ing of questions from everyone from the New York Times, to the Financial Times, to the national papers, and from that, it became, I suppose, a movement is the best way to put it, that reached the four corners of the globe.
Information that you went in with, to a meeting with the ambassador, and when you came out, it must have been, was it a different perspective that you had on it when you came out?
Well, I went in to the meeting having been on delegations to different aspects in my political former life. I went in not knowing. There's always apprehension because Russia generates its own press, rightly or wrongly, and I'm not going into the political sphere of the rights and wrongs there. But there was apprehension, but the ambassador and his staff put us at ease almost immediately. There was a cup of coffee shared, and we talked over that, and we laid on the table the concerns that we had, which were very genuine and self-evident, that there is an overlap between the southern parts of the Porcupine and the Porcupine Sea Bite that potentially could be impacted by any drill in that area, notwithstanding then the eco-sensitive area that it is, the environmental hazards of having military drills, and the fact that it's a spawning ground for the mackerel. So we laid those scenarios before him. He was sympathetic. Of course, and I have to say, as international law stands, they were within their rights to stay there. There was nothing that could be done from a member state perspective or from the powers of the state. As it is, our EEZ said, we have the rights to minerals and fish there, but we don't have the right to deter any military action or military activity, even including that, because we hadn't exercised any of those prerogatives in advance. That would be covered under the 1982 International Law of the Seas. So we were going in from a weak perspective. We only were armed, in fairness. All we could put is the human side of the story. And Patrick Murphy and myself put a very human side. These are people, the fishermen, and ourselves as processors, that have been very severely hit by Brexit, by 48 years of failed EEC and EU policy, by very, very poor leadership on the part of our own department for the last 20 years, and political failures to add infinitum to all of that. So it's, if you are to portray the Irish fishing industry, it's all about loss and failure. And this picture we painted, it's realistic, but it would generate sympathy from anyone. And it did generate genuine sympathy for the ambassador, and from that then a sequence of events would have unfolded that would involve having to go back to Russia. I think the factor that most surprised me was how, probably because of the circumstances perhaps elsewhere in mainland Europe, but how it generated such interest globally. I recall speaking to a journalist, I think from Italy, I did an interview in one of the stations there, and their view at that stage was that it was being covered in 98 countries. I think later it was covered in about 130 countries worldwide. But what started off as an initiative of desperation because our own government had turned its back on us, turned out to be a springboard that has put Irish fishing and the plight of the Irish fishing and the failures of Irish fishing right to the center of global politics and the global news networks.
This failure that we've seen to be experiencing from the Irish government, you know, it seemed to be clear from the EU Commissioner Sinkevicius, like, you know, when he said, like, the world could use more of you, when he was talking about how the Irish fishermen went and took charge of the situation. Does that seem to go back toward, does that roll back towards, like, when Ireland goes to European Council for Agriculture and Fisheries and at the December Council, and is this something that, you know, we're probably too used to in this country, where we don't have strong politicians when we need them?
Well, I have very clear views in that, and I get myself into a lot of trouble usually when I express my clear views, but if you look at fishing objectively, and I'm 9 months in this job, and I don't come from a fishing background, but if you look at the fishing communities, they're vibrant. There's great drive and determination there. If you look at the vessel owners, absolute determination, ambition, drive, and they're willing to reinvest, they're willing to work night and day. It's the same in the processing sector. What am I saying? Every layer of the fishing industry that you do a fundamental assessment of, there's massive determination. So why then, when you look at the trajectory of other EU coastal states, is Ireland on a constant downward projection? When you compare that to the Netherlands, you compare it to Belgium, you compare it even to Iceland that's outside the EU, and they're on an upward trajectory. So what is wrong if you have an industry that has massive determination, a massive willingness to reinvest, a massive willingness to work hard? Where lies the problem? Well, I have consistently said, when I was in politics and now as a representative of the fishing industry, there is two failures in fishing industry. There's two failures in the fishing industry. One is our parent department since 1996, and second is successive political failures. And I don't make that in a singular political charge, I make it as a global charge that encompasses numerous ministers over a long period of time. And it makes no difference how many times I'm going to say this. I'm going to continue to come back to that point. Nothing is going to change until that changes. And when I say that changes, there has to be a fundamental root and branch reassessment of the entire way in which the Department of the Marine functions. I've written about this in the Marine Times. I think it'll be published in the course of the week. It is well beyond time that we as a political body and a cross party on an apolitical basis set up a committee that looks at all the failures and where we're lacking ambition and where the drive isn't being maximized nationally first and then on a European wide basis. So what I would propose in that regard is that for a fixed term of the Dáil, that a committee be set up to look at every aspect of marine, from its department structure to its interaction at EU level to how we as representative bodies are set up and how we represent the various sectors, how the messaging is delivered, how that then is extrapolated and sent through Europe. You don't get the Nobel Prize for science or for anything saying that the Irish fishing industry is a failure. That's self-obvious. An eight-year-old child reading an initial paper on fishing in a primary school would tell you that at this stage. But it's no use just saying it. We're going to have to put proactive opportunity and avenues in order to get out of this. And I'm not making myself popular here with the powers that be, but I'm not doing myself justice as someone that's employed by and has the faith of people that gave me a job 9 months ago. You know, if I'm not going to represent the facts, I'm representing nothing. So we need to start as we mean to go on. Brexit TCA was the final straw. The industry has to become stronger than the department. And the industry has to become stronger than the department and the political establishment combined if we're to get a way out of it. Because we've waited long enough for the politicians of the day and the department that's there for as long as it is to take us out of this mess, and they haven't. So therefore, other alternatives in partnership with the political establishment have to be looked at.
It's embarrassing when you look at other countries like Iceland and Norway, that I know they're outside the EU, but then we've got countries within the EU like France and Spain, or Denmark and Holland, which have very, very strong fishing fleets. And the country that's actually sitting on the fishing grounds are being asked to reduce their fishing fleet by a third. Now, this is still going to happen. The Seafood Sector Task Force has made a recommendation. Do you think there should be a rollback on that recommendation?
It's pointless. And I was on the Seafood Task Force for 8 out of the 14 meetings because I was appointed midway through that process. It's pointless putting any more ambition on the table if there's two bottlenecks in how the Irish fishing industry has been delivered. The two bottlenecks that I see are the department and the political willingness. And that's not a single political charge against the minister who's a personal friend of mine. It's far from it. when I say a political wilderness, that is equally charged at the opposition and every party in Dáil Éireann, as well as the government of the day. Admittedly, the government of the day have the responsibility of the department. But as the last week has shown, there is a massive sympathy there for the fishing industry. There's now a greater understanding of what really is happening there. One of the greatest mistakes in the Irish fishing industry was in 1996-97, when it lost its mainstream status and it became less and less of a department until it eventually became one third of a multitude of a department. So there has to be a major debate about fishing. And the way we're debating in workshops or task forces is wasting our time, because we're out of touch with what really is on the ground. I was overwhelmed when I was touring Cork and back into Dublin, going through the different aspects of the fishing industry. We're out of touch as representatives of that, because the ambition that we're articulating and the drive and determination we're showing is minuscule compared to what's still on the ground, even after all the negative impacts of Brexit, TCA, and the successive failures of 20 years. There's a problem. There's an ivory tower mentality got into marine that needs to be knocked out of it. And that can only be knocked out of it if we swing open the doors and swing open the windows and allow for scrutiny as never before. We either do this or we continue on the road of failure. I'm saying that in light of everything that I have seen in the 9 months that I'm here, that for the first time, we need to get serious about Irish fishing. And that doesn't mean we go down the rabbit holes that we've been down for the last 20 years.
The current state of the fishing industry sees it generate money, and it generates a good income for the size of an industry that it is. Now, it's terrible to think that we're throwing away something that could be very, very valuable to the country. And we don't see any political gains for throwing it away. I can't see it anyway. I don't know about you. Can you see why it's so lacking in importance?
It's lacking in importance because we have allowed it to slide into a kind of a back room of despair. It's lacking in importance because there's a lack of appreciation what it's delivering currently. The reality is, if you look at pro rata, the various ports that have fishing activity, that have the service industry, and they are effective micro or mini chip companies in the various ports. When you look at it pro rata, if you look at Killybegs, 20% of the people around there is employed in fishing. If you go to Castletown Bear, and if you go then to Kilmore Quay or to Hoth or wherever you want to go, Claverhead, that if you look at those, the impacts of fishing there, pro rata to the population, there's is the equivalent of having one of those microchip companies, be it in Kildare or elsewhere. But it's not appreciated because it's rurally based, is the first thing. It's based predominantly, as we are, in coastal communities that are lesser populated. But the pro rata impact that they have in the respective towns and ports around the country is equal to that than having a 5,000 or 6,000 jobs in the larger urban centres. So what has happened is the ambition of the industry has kept the industry going, has sustained it, and we didn't have the debate that we now have. So you ask yourself the question, why are you having the debate now? Well, the debate has been having now is because we lost 25% of the fish effectively to Brexit. We compare ourselves then to other countries. And the last time I was here, I spoke about how we were in the top 5 processing nations of the EU. Now we're in the bottom 2. That is the same right across the board, be it the catching sector or be it the processing sector. So when you lose as heavily as you've done, as 25%, that's a massive hit. You know, it's a miracle that the ambition is still there. But the ambition is still there because there's centuries of understanding of how valuable the fishing grounds that surround our island are. That's there. That's in the DNA. That salt water is in the blood. We need to channel that energy. We have the groundswell of support now as never before, but we need to channel that energy in a positive way out the roadblocks that are there by having a fundamental argument and discussion and debate. If you don't want to call it an argument, we'll have a debate. I don't mind what you call it, but it needs to take place. You know, the Irish fishing industry is one step away from being the next crisis. And the present crisis, as you see, is the forestry section. And again, that was a section that was allowed to whittle itself into a back room. It became set in its ways, dependent on one or two people making all the decisions. And we have the crisis that we have now. Well, the Irish marine section, Irish fishing industry, is only one step away from being that in that space.
So, Brian, do you think just political will to deliver this?
Well, I've consulted widely across the various parties. There is. And I think there's a realization now that we've done a great disservice to the fishing industry. And I think we're in a very good space if we get the support of the minister and the government of the day to set up this committee and to chart a way forward. And when I say it's a committee, this is a committee of the Dáil Éireann, Oireachtas, of the Oireachtas, manned by the staff of the Oireachtas to commission a full in-depth report into the fishing so that we take politics out of fish. And that, what I mean by that is there's always the danger in politics that opposition parties promise, governments renege. So we need to get that mantra off the table and bring all parties around the table now. It makes no difference who's in government at present, makes no difference who's going to be in government in 4 years' time, and bring them all around the table and chart a 10-year strategy of recovery and reform. Both have to be co-equal partners in this. And if we get the input of the industry, and I think the industry is ready and willing to play its part, if we get the willingness of the department to think proactively and allow itself the reform that it desperately needs before we become another Department of Forestry and have a government, it has to have the support of the current government in order to move forward. I think we would be in a much better place after the 6 or 8 months that this committee would look at it. It's going to be a fixed term. This is not going to drag on for ever and a day. It's going to have to be a fixed term, fixed focus. But the ambition has to be to have a fundamental assessment of the fishing currently and drive it forward in a 10-year cycle, taking politics out of it, have an agreed plan of recovery that has buy-in from all parties and those that have no political beliefs. It should have the support of the industry. I'm nearly certain that it will, but it is the way forward. We can't go around in the ever-decreasing circles that we've been in for the last for however long. It's immaterial however long. It's one day too long. That's how long it is.
Do you think with people like yourself coming in, you know, with a political background coming into a job like yours, and now if you look at social media, there's so many different Facebook pages about fishing and the Irish fishing industry. Do you think we're into a new era for the industry?
Well, I'm heartened since the protests. I know a lot of people are very disheartened about the protests in Cork and in Dublin, but they lit a fire. Okay, it wasn't a forest fire, but it was a fire that has started. And from that now we have a global footprint. And we have also a reigniting, I suppose, of the political awareness of how we've allowed in successive watches the fishing industry to go down. So I think we'll be surprised when we get going. Now, the only thing that's going to push us back is those that don't want change. And I think, unfortunately, there's enough of them around too.
Today, yourselves, the AFPEA and and WFPO have released a joint proposal on the future of military operations at sea. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it's the obvious next step in the process that we started this week in terms of the Russian naval engagement, and we compliment the sensible decision the Russian Navy have taken, and it was a big step for them. Now, the next step to that is, and we need to be honest with ourselves here, there have been naval exercises in our water. There has been third countries with exercise in our water, naval drills and military exercises. We have to be fair and put an end to all this. Now, the 1982 International Laws of the Sea is a complex document which effectively set up the EEZs. But that being said, there is within that sufficient scope that the countries can regulate these activities within their waters. So I would be proposing, and we've written to the Taoiseach this morning, both Patrick Murphy and I, that there's a 10-year moratorium on naval activities from any country in Irish waters, be that our own territorial waters, and most especially our EEZ. This moratorium will come in effect, and there will be no naval activities based on the eco-sensitive nature of our waters, based on the nature that these waters are so critically important for the spawning grounds of different species that straddle in stocks that involve numerous countries, and notwithstanding the present situation and challenges that the Irish fishing industry have. I'm not entering the political sphere in terms of is it politically right or wrong, or who's in and who's out. This is a moratorium affecting all countries, with the exception, of course, of the Irish Navy, which would be allowed to have training practices in the waters, and that would be natural enough. And the fact that the Irish Navy would have very little military exercise and certainly wouldn't be launching missiles anyway, the effect that they would have would be minimal. You might well ask, why is it a 10-year moratorium? Well, there's a precedent for setting moratoriums for military exercise. I think it would be virtually impossible to ban them on a long-term basis. But if you were to get an initial 10-year moratorium, it certainly would be a whole lot easier to renew that after 10 years. But I think it would be very disingenuous of the Irish fishing industry to have mounted the campaign that we have over the last week and not to go the step further. I have heard it from various people that I've engaged with over the last week, and I've seen it on social media. There's an appetite and a desire to ban all military activities, especially live fire exercise, in the waters that surround this nation.
And do you think we're in a better place now than, say, 9 months ago when you started this job?
Well, there's certainly a greater awareness of fishing. And most importantly of all, there's an absolute unity. We mightn't agree on everything, but we agree on one thing, that we are going to put in a concerted effort and fight to put fishing back on its rightful trajectory of recovery, as opposed to 20 years of failure. I remember saying in my first interview, whatever is ahead, it's not going to be more of the same. We have now a duty, all sections and segments of the Irish fishing industry, to come together and to deliver that message that this is a section, this is a department, this is whatever you, this is an industry that is crying out for reform, restructure, and new direction. That has to be the single focus of anyone and everyone that represents any section of the Irish fishing industry. And those of us that have the responsibility, and it's a great honour to have a responsibility to represent any section of the Irish fishing industry, those of us that have a responsibility to do that must not fail in moving that forward. It's going to create a backlash. I understand that. That's unfortunately how some within the industry perform. But we have to be bigger than that and stronger than that. And we have to do the right thing for fishing in the months ahead. We have to do the right thing. We're at an inflection point. And if we fail, the industry fails.
Thank you for joining us again, Brendan. It's been interesting, and we'll have you back again, because what you're talking about makes a lot of sense, and the industry needs people like yourself and Patrick and others to come along and speak out and rally the troops and get things done.
Thank you very much, Oliver. You're too kind. Sounded like an obituary there.